them several times. They like the concept. They have given us a couple of concerns that they've enumerated, one of which is that the offsite, at the confluence of this, the offsite should not receive or witness an increase in flow or experience an out-of-bank event. And by relocating this, the amount of inline storage to service Hamden Park, we're going to be able to satisfy that. And there are a couple other...
So your assumption is you'll get a permit eventually for this project? Okay. Because if you don't, I guess you'll have to deal with the existing situation then, correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
How will stormwater be managed? We've talked about the tax ditch. Kind of tie that in with stormwater.
Thank you. You'll notice that we have two large ponds. So this is a multi-tiered effort, multi-tiered approach. Basically, we have the inline system with the relocated tax ditch, but we also have ponds to service, provide water quality and water quantity management for this proposed project on site, in addition to the ditch relocation.
How about the...
Are they conceptual at this time, or you haven't really done any engineering studies to figure out?
We have not done the engineering. We've done soil evaluations and things of that.
All that soil is pretty bad, right?
Actually, what we found is, based on our extensive on-site evaluations, that the soils, as proposed in a 1974 soil survey and also updated by the NRCS web soil survey, that these soils actually drain fairly well, a little bit better than their classification.
Well, I knew the original cedar, whatever it's called, twin cedars, had septic problems.
Correct. That's been remediated.
Notorious problems.
TMDL analysis.
Mr. Cole, thank you for that great segment. With regard to
the
TMDL, basically, as we mentioned before, this project is going to be part of the Johnson Corner Sewer District. So as such, it will allow or afford the abandonment of that septic system that has been replaced and is operating under a full permit authorization by DENREC to service the three existing structures. That will be abandoned, and this entire project will be serviced by sewer. Currently, there are no buffers related to the ditches adjacent to the areas that are presently farmed. We discussed previously the buffers. We've discussed the ability for increased water quality opportunities with the ponds and also with the tax ditch relocation. We've talked about preservation of a large contiguous area of existing wooded. The assessment using the nutrient protocol worksheet as promulgated by DENREC has resulted in achieving the required reductions within the inland base.
Now, you said that the existing system has now been permitted and is operating to be able to service the existing buildings.
That's correct.
So right now the existing buildings are empty?
That's correct.
Yes.
So
at the time the repairs went in, they were fully occupied.
So the intent is to have them back reoccupied?
Well, that would be up to the applicant should this project not proceed forward. Maybe Mr. Black could discuss that.
Okay, let me just, then. So in other words, we don't really have any assurances that the existing situation that's there will cease.
I would say...
Because it's a change of zone. And like if the economy or the market stays the way it is, because I doubt if any market studies you've got are saying that this is a viable operation, but maybe...
Mr. Black will have an opportunity, and I'm sure he will attest to the council.
Because a lot of the concerns have been of the residences, what was there and how it operated was, again, like a notorious, had a lot of a nice reputation about it. And it was problematic. That's the word you'd like to use, problematic, that place.
We understand that, and
And there's concern that this, if we do something now, it'll continue to be problematic.
Well, I'd also like to point out that the area where the three buildings are that we're talking about that has now had the upgraded septic system is currently zoned C1.
Right.
That's the current zoning. What we're actually asking for is a down zoning, CR1.
No, that's the only zone we have now for that, right?
Well, it is a down zoning. We're going from... and I understand that
that's a stretch, Stephanie, but we'll take it. We'll accept it.
That is actually what was mentioned by the Planning and Zoning Commission. That's where I got the term from.
And I wouldn't use it much more.
There we go.
It's a sidestep.
Given a full opportunity, I'm sure Mr. Black will give you his assurances.
Okay.
And I do believe that that's in phase one, correct?
Yes.
Yes, that's in phase one.
Okay. And you're all fully aware of what the engineering department's assumptions are for the project? That there's not going to be, you're not going to look up in a couple of years as you move forward and say, we want to build something now that exceeds this sewer capacity studies.
No, we are.
No problem. I mean, you do understand what the engineering department has told you all.
Yes.
I would say, again, Mr. Black could probably touch on this, but he fully participated.
Because we have people buying property now and wanting more than what it seems it's in the ground can handle and stuff. It's problematic.
Point of clarification, we've got a land use plan and zoning categories that offer the ability for them to ask certain levels of density regardless of what our engineering department says the capacity of the sewer is. We have not changed our code or ordinance.
That's a problem between you and I. I think that
that's your assumption.
No, our engineering department designs things, and that has a impact on what
it
can be built.
It has a bearing, but there is no restriction from them applying for anything.
I'm trying to find out if they understand what he's bought. We'll have a debate later.
No, it's important that they understand.
Well, you're wrong, and I'm right.
Fortunately, I've got the law on my side, continue.
No, you might have.
No, we received, as part of the participation in the formation of the sewer district, we received notification of what the allocated EDUs are already.
And you're fully aware of it, right?
And we can work with that, yes.
I understand. So I just want to make sure that there's no misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you just to do a quick comparison. There are four major differences between the plan that PLUS saw last and the plan that you see here tonight. And the only reason that I want him to bring it up is because if you were to actually take a look at the last PLUS comments, which are in your book from November 2009, they were not very good comments. They were rather stinging comments. We have made some major modifications as a result of those comments, so I don't want you to think that they've gone unaddressed. Keith, can you mention what we have here?
In addition to relocating the tax ditch, we have set aside a larger contiguous area for forest conservation, nearly 16 acres. The prior PLUS comment had asserted that the previous proposal was going to create these fingers of disconnected, non-contiguous areas. Well, we've consolidated all the development to try to preserve, I believe this is 42%, 41 or 42% of the original contiguous forest we have now set aside.
And you said some of the deed restrictions in our notes, is it actually been?
It will be deed restricted.
It will be deed, okay. Because we can't place that condition, but you're
correct.
You're saying that it will be deed
It will be, and you will hear that from Mr. Black.
In addition, we've actually reduced the unit count from the previous, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the first PLUS submission in 2006 was
242,
and then we went to 224, and now we're at 199, so an additional 30 units were removed. In addition, this plan has eliminated the single family homes. The idea was to try to consolidate, to try to provide a more competitively priced housing stock. And so with the elimination of the single family homes, we've been able to condense the development. And also we had in a previous plan, we had a set aside area for artesian water for a public service area. And we've eliminated that as well.
There have been further conversations with Artesian, and they are not at this point interested in a location here. But we're continuing to talk with them. So at least at this point, that's where the conversations have been. DelDOT, have there been any conversations with DelDOT?
Yes, we've had several discussions with DelDOT, completed our traffic impact study, and we've received the results of that impact study. The required improvements to support this project would be obviously widening of the entrance and the adjacent approaches, and also bringing Zion Church Road up to road classification standards from Deer Run all the way to the eastern limit of the property. In addition, traffic agreement or signal agreement would be proposed for the intersection of Zion Church Road and Johnson Corner.
Well, the streets will be private but dedicated to public use?
Yes.
built to Sussex County specifications?
Yes.
Have the street names been approved by Sussex County mapping and addressing?
Yes, they have, and they are on the plan.
Are there pull-off areas for buses?
Yes, we actually have two designated bus stop areas, one on either side of this main boulevard. The idea would be that this would provide a sheltered bus location for students for pickup or drop-off, and also potentially for additional dark service to this new commercial area.
Impervious cover, is this a source water protection area?
No.
Is this an area designated as fair for groundwater recharge?
Yes.
What is the present and proposed impervious cover?
The present impervious cover is approximately 2%, and the proposed would be 33%.
Okay, thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to bring up Amy Nasterwitz.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Talk about the environmental issues of the property and how they've been addressed. Can you please state your name and occupation for the record?
Sure. Amy Nostrovich. I'm an environmental scientist for Landmark JCM Environmental.
Okay. Can you describe to us did you and JCM put together the environmental assessment and public facility evaluation for this project?
Yes.
Can you describe to us the wetlands work that JCM has done on the property?
Sure. A wetlands investigation and delineation was conducted by JCM Environmental back in October 2007. A report was completed in January 2008. The delineation identified 5 isolated wetlands which would not fall under the jurisdiction of the Army Corps, 1 man-made farm pond which would not fall under the jurisdiction of the Army Corps, 5 man-made irrigation ditches that are excavated wholly in uplands, so they would not fall under the jurisdiction of the Army Corps, and then the Batson Branch Tax Ditch, Prong 1, which drains off-site wetlands to the west and is a relatively permanent waterway. So that tax ditch would fall under the jurisdiction of both the Army Corps and Denrec Subaqueous Lands. And our most recent site investigation was conducted by myself and our senior biologists on March 19th this year in order to assess the on-site habitat as for wildlife value and their potential ability in particular to support rare, threatened, and endangered species. The results of that study indicated that no federally rare, threatened, or endangered species or unique habitats are present on the property. Our investigation concluded that of the forested isolated wetlands on the property, only the southern portions of what we called Wetland 1 are likely to hold water. Yeah. Yeah, I get that one out.
This is Wetland 1 right here.
So that was the only wetland that was likely to hold water long enough and while being connected to upland forest to provide adequate breeding habitat for Delaware's rare to uncommon salamanders that would be within range of the property. And also the upland forest within the southwestern portion of the property is the oldest on the property and of the highest quality on the property as well. Right, and also the southern portion of the forest contained the majority of what we're calling specimen trees, which basically were trees that were identified as Denrec as being very old, about 100 years old, large, healthy trees. So our conclusions were that the upland and wetland forested habitats in that southwestern portion of the property were of the highest value to wildlife.
Has an Army Corps JD been applied for?
Yes.
And I believe that was in February of 2008.
Yeah, a JD request was submitted to the Army Corps in February 2008. A response has not yet been received to that request, although it's still on file in their system.
And has a Denrec JD been issued?
Yes. A Denrec JD was received by Denrec Subaqueous Lands in June 2008. Denrec just took jurisdiction of that Batson Tax Ditch, Prong 1, in the front of the property.
And you'll note that's in tab 39 of your book. I'd also like to note for the record that the Denrec botanist named Mr. Bill McAvoy visited the property back in 2006, and he particularly came out to determine see for himself whether there were any rare or threatened endangered plant species, and he found that there was nothing there. There were no species of concern or federally listed plants, and that the potential for future discoveries was very low. And his letter stating that is in tab 36. I'd also like to note for the record that we recently received correspondence from the U.S. Department of the Interior, again stating no proposed federally listed endangered or threatened species known to exist in the project. That's at tab 34. And the U.S. Department of Commerce letter saying the same thing, just in different words, at tab 43. Can you talk a little bit about the various environmental mitigation measures at the property?
Yes. We have developed a mitigation plan for the proposed ditch impacts that can be found in Appendix H of the environmental assessment report. To mitigate for the 0.1-acre impacts proposed for the tax ditch, 1.56 acres of ditch will be created and enhanced through a meandering layout and native plantings in the central portion of the property. This provides for a 15-to-1 mitigation ratio. In addition to that, the created stream will be given a 2.37-acre buffer that will also be planted with native trees and shrubs. And finally, just under 16 acres of forested uplands and wetlands in the southwestern portion of the property will be protected as a deed restriction, a forest conservation area.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony.
You're welcome.
At this time, I'd like, lastly, to bring up Mr. Roger Black.
Good afternoon. Roger Black, representative for Twin Cedars.
Has everything you've heard today true and accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Have you spoken to your neighbors regarding this project?
I have spoken to most of the neighbors that are immediately adjacent to the project and then outreaching from there as well.
I'll note in your book you actually have a adjacent and nearby resident support letter, we're calling it. That's a tab 42. And I believe we also have to hand out to you a letter of support from Lost Lands now. Roger, can you tell us a little bit about your conversation with Lost Lands?
Yeah, obviously the letter that he wrote was entered in testimony, so I didn't have an opportunity prior to our planning and zoning hearing to get over and meet with Dave, but have done so, and had a good three-hour conversation with him. He completely understands, all the nuances of the project, and we understood his concerns as well, and, while we've certainly addressed everything, and he now appreciates what we're doing there.
Something that you should understand about this project, if you look behind you, there is nobody here in opposition. There was also no one here in opposition, well, in front of you, behind me. There was no one here in opposition at planning and zoning either, and that's really a result of this applicant going out and knocking on the doors of his neighbors. This started back in 2006, 2007 with the expansion of the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. He went door to door. We're getting ready to develop the property. Would you be interested? Can you be interested in getting on sewer? I mean, he had a major part in helping that referendum to pass, which had not passed before. Once that was passed, again, he's out talking to the neighbors. We've got the kind of, we're calling it a letter of support or petition of support from the neighbors, including the immediately adjacent neighbors, Mr. Lawrence Long, that lives right here, as well as the neighbors in Hampden Park. So we have an applicant that is not afraid to talk to his neighbors and have very involved and long conversations with them, I understand.
We've got letters of support from the Hampden Park, as Stephanie said, across the street from us, the Michael Johns, who have roughly 30 acres there. As Stephanie said, Lawrence Long here, the Fenwick Medical Complex, the Bay 20 LLC, Joel Farr, support from the Johnson family. Now Lost Lands RV Park has signed that letter as well. Pretty much everybody up and down the street is in support of what we're proposing to do at Twin Cedars.
Have you talked to your neighbors about the tax ditch realignment?
Absolutely. Yeah, both, Mr. Rudy hit on all the problems with the existing tax ditch alignment as it relates to Hampden Park. Let me just make a comment. He also indicated that at some point in time that tax ditch had been realigned and piped and various other issues. We did not do that, just as soon as you understand. understand it. We bought the property.
Excuse me, Mr. Black, do you mind going back to the podium? We have people watching this on the web as well.
Sure. So to just address that again, we did not realign that the actual tax ditch or pipe that. It was like that when we purchased the property. But it will substantially help Hampden Park, and they're in support of the tax ditch realignment. And Mr. Long, the other side of the property, is in agreement with the realignment as well, which he's also signed a document saying that.
And you have that in tab 12. We have the statement of support for the tax ditch realignment in your booklet at tab 12. Have you discussed this with the tax ditch managers?
Yes, I have. In fact, I'm actually the chairman of the Batson Branch Tax Ditch, our co-managers, we've talked about this extensively. We've met with DENREC on it, as Mr. Rudy indicated, the general consensus is this is the best fix for the problem that exists, with that as it relates to Hampden Park.
The resolution of support from the tax ditch managers is located in your book at tab 13. And you'll note on that letter of support, it mentions that should the rezoning be approved, that they would be willing to go through that the court process that you need to go through in order to realign a tax ditch. Also, tab 11, there is a letter from McCrone to DENREC summarizing the meeting with DENREC that they had, where DENREC is supportive of the movement as well. Mr. Black, in order to assure the continual preservation of the large forested area on site, would Twin Cedars be willing to deed restrict the property so that no further development will occur in the 15.96 acres shown on the site rendering?
Yes.
Okay. At the request of the Planning and Zoning Commission, would you agree to contact the U.S. Postal Service to determine the type of mailboxes that would suit them in Twin Cedars?
Yes.
And would you be willing to limit the lighting in the commercial area so that it's directional and will not unduly impact the residential area?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much for your testimony. I'd like to note that restrictive covenants will be prepared.
Well, yeah. Address Mr. Goldman's comment.
Yeah.
What's that?
I wanted to get Keith was asking me to address your comment. A couple of things that you had brought up.
Where did that come from?
Specifically, you made a comment about the septic problems that were existent on the property. Well, as soon as we took ownership to the property, I was visited by, Hillary Moore what department is she from?
She's with DENREC.
DENREC, exactly, but the specific department. So we had to cure those problems. I had a 10-day cure order on that. Mm-hmm. So that's why we did that, because we had, 45-plus residents living there. And so we went through that process and actually took care of
that. You do realize the support you got from the community was that the plan eliminates the existing use.
Correct.
And that's what I think most people are going to want to see, the existing use.
Right, and with the rezoning, it's we don't plan on reoccupying those buildings. That's why we, as the vacancies came about, we just kept the units vacant. We didn't put people back in. We could have done that, but it just made life a little easier for us down the road, so we didn't have to deal with that issue. it's not. We don't have any plans to
Is there any, Lawrence, is there any time frames associated with these zonings that, we have with, some of our applications?
Excuse me, if I keep my voice. In a residential planning community, we look at it as similar to the subdivision process. If 5 years goes by and there's no activity, then we go back to the commission and we can void the RPC overlay portion.
Okay.
And the GR is already existing, so it doesn't impact the GR.
And it would remain GR.
It'll remain GR. We can't change the zone, but we can change the overlay.
So worst thing could happen in after 5 years is somebody could come back in with a GR subdivision and basically not
right.
The whole plan was conceptual. On the CR1 part, the 5 acres, that's permanently will be zoned.
If that's the rezone, it's permanent. And I'll remind you, it's a difference, real difference between GR or CR1 and C1 is there's no multifamily use permitted.
Right.
So that would eliminate that as a permitted use mm-hmm. in the CR1 portion, mm-hmm. unless they went for a conditional use.
Gotcha.
That may address your problem then, your issue. that it would still, you know, it couldn't be still used for multifamily because under CR1, we'd have to go back for a conditional use in order to have it that way.
Well, it's if it's an existing use, we can't just stop it if since
it's
there.
Depends on how long it ceases. Right. It ceases to use for 2 years, it's void.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Clear
okay.
as mud.
And then, you know, one other comment that you'd made about the creation of the sewer district. You know, the engineering department, you know, looked at the site and said, okay, in a worst-case scenario, by zoning, they could have X number of units. And I think we had told the engineering department 228 units at that point in time. So they designed the system understanding that Twin Cedars may potentially have 228 units. We, in fact, have backed off of that number. And we're down, you know, under 200 units in residential there.
Okay, so I just want to make sure you're aware.
No, I am completely aware of that process. Good. I was, as good. Stephanie said, I was actively involved with it on a daily basis, you know, okay. getting that done.
All right. Thank you very much
for
your testimony.
Yeah, thanks, Robert.
Restrictive covenants will be prepared. They were not submitted with a particular application. They will be prepared prior to final plan approval. As you're probably aware, DCAIA will pass, which is the new law regarding maintenance corporations and the documents that govern them. And there are still a lot of folks in the legal community, most of us, who are still trying to figure out how to put all the new documents together so that they will be DCAIA compliant. And so we will work on that, and we will make sure that the restrictive covenants will be in accordance with the correspondence from Vince Robertson dated April the 9th, 2009. He specifically laid out what he wanted to see in those restrictive covenants. So at this point, this is a project which is true to the RPC purpose. This is the stuff that we always say we want to see in an RPC community, in new urbanism and new development, because here we have many different types of units. We've got multifamilies, either apartments or condos. We've got duplexes. We've got townhouses. These are different range of folks that can afford to live in the community. We have taken out the single-family homes because they are land consumptive. We had single-family homes. It was in the area, particularly where there's the forested area now. Those have been removed. 30 of them were taken out so that you could maintain a large, continuous area of forest, which we didn't have before. And in the process of doing that, we're able to save 14 out of the 21 or so very large trees that currently exist on the property. The emphasis in the large forested area was not to fragment the forest. So you don't have your open space here is not all the buffers that are surrounding and separating all the different uses. The largest part of the open space will be the deed restricted forest conservation area. And we don't have paths back in there because we're not encouraging people to go back there. There are paths throughout the other portions of the property, and the active recreation is outside of that area as well, so that we can leave the forested area alone, leave the plants and the animals alone to kind of do their thing. We're also realigning the tax ditch, not only to serve this particular community, but to serve the area as well. This is going to be a help to the folks in Hampden Park, as well as help to Mr. Long. Again, we have walkability from the adjacent commercial with the residential to the adjacent commercial, and we've got some level of job creation in an area which could sorely use some job creation, hopefully. At this point, I would like to... That ends our formal presentation. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any other questions from council?
Just one question, Stephanie. Was there any correspondence from the school district or to the school district? You notified the school district? And
no response.
No response, okay. All right.
Any other questions? If not, do you have anything else, Ms. Hansen?
No, we do not.
If not... Is there anyone else here in attendance that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there, seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Again, for the record, does anyone like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, it would be appropriate to close the public hearing, Mr. President.
Okay. With regards to the public record, Planning and Zoning has not made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
What's the council's
Make a motion we defer.
Second.
We leave the public record open, Mr.
Nope.
Cole?
No.
We'll
nope,
close the public
I think we've
record.
Heard enough.
And we have a motion to defer and a second. Any discussion? If not, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. There is one additional item, Mr. Moore, with regards
yes.
to that earlier application.
Yes, on the application of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company on the notes from the planning and zoning, it indicated CU number 1683. However, the ordinance
CZ.
I read was CZ
yeah,
number
and 16. I announced a correction.
You did? Good.